Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. After 19-year-old Boston Marathon bombing suspect Shahar Tsarnaev was charged on Monday with using and conspiring to use a weapon of mass destruction, some people asked us, what exactly does that mean? Shahar and his deceased brother Tamerlan are accused of turning pressure cookers into bombs by filling them with explosives, BBs, and nails, and killing three people at the marathon, maiming dozens more. Terrible carnage. But the Newtown shooter killed more people. So the definition isn't about quantity. What is it about? John Mueller is a professor of political science at Ohio State University and senior fellow at the Cato Institute. He joins us from the NPR studios in Washington. So, Professor, this federal charge carries a possible death sentence. Tell us about its history, because you say the definition has changed over the years.
Yes, it was used fairly infrequently during the Cold War, and when it was used, it usually referred to nuclear weapons or weapons that might be developed in the future of that capacity. In the 1990s, early 1990s, it was expanded to include chemical, biological, and radiological weapons. And then in 1994, it was expanded to include any explosive device and various kinds of projectiles.
Well, but that's confusing because
yes.
Does a gun explode in the chamber and send a bullet out? I mean, how does it exempt guns?
Yeah, it exempts guns with a bore of less than half an inch. So hunting rifles are okay, but Revolutionary War muskets would be weapons of mass destruction, which explains why the shot was heard around the world.
Well, but that's taking it to an extreme, but you are among people who say this definition is too broad.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sort of war on the English language. Most of the weapons cannot cause mass destruction. Nuclear weapons can, but almost all the other weapons, it's very questionable, depending what you mean by mass. Even chemical weapons, they were used a lot during World War I. They inflicted about 0.7% of all the fatalities. And even in the case of chemical weapons, if you want to kill lots of people, you'd have to use lots of them. And you can, of course, kill lots of people with a single gun or with a single knife.
Well, we'll post the legal definition at hereandnow.org, but most people understand weapons of mass destruction to mean, as one of the definitions said, releasing something toxic or poisonous, or, as in a pressure cooker, something that explodes out and is meant to, you know, have mass destruction, kill more than one person at a time. Is that literally part of the definition?
Well, mass usually doesn't mean two, more than one person. It would imply hundreds or at least thousands, and it was developed originally with nuclear weapons. So I think it's very questionable for any weapon except nuclear weapons. There's some biological weapons that might be in that class under certain very extreme circumstances, but even they are unlikely to kill hundreds or thousands with a single application. And then the extension to grenades and things like that is completely ludicrous in my view.
Perhaps, but what benefit might prosecutors see in using this charge of using weapons of mass destruction?
Well, there's a maximum sentence, as you mentioned. It can be life imprisonment or even execution.
But couldn't you have that by charging people with murder?
Yes, you could, just with the plain murder. So there's some advantage, but it's a big, horrendous thing to hang over a defendant. And it's also very useful in plea bargaining frequently. You say, well, we'll reduce it somewhat to a smaller charge. But murder, of course, is a capital crime all by itself and doesn't really need the additional drama of that. And a disadvantage always is that exactly what you're saying comes up. People say, you know, a bomb that killed three people, that's a mass destruction. And if you read into the definition, it becomes even more ridiculous. Even a potato gun under this circumstance would be considered a weapon of mass destruction because it fits the definition. It's bigger than 3 inches in diameter. It would be projected, and the definition doesn't say that the thing projected has to be either hard or explosive, and it also doesn't say that it has to be projected by an explosive itself. It could be set off by a rubber band.
Yeah.
So a potato gun that projects potatoes using a rubber band would be considered a weapon of mass destruction.
Well, you make your point, but I'm wondering if there's something to be said for prosecutors using this phrase to address the feelings that people have that three people might have died, but dozens are horribly maimed, and they were also charged with conspiring to use the weapon of mass destruction. It could have killed more. In other words, this idea of a charge addressing a sense of vindication for the people who were attacked.
That's true, but against that must be weighed the fact that people think, you know, everything's gone crazy here. This was not mass destruction in an ordinary English sense. And exactly
sure
the kind
like
of questions
it,
you're raising.
It feels like it, though, if you live in Boston.
Well, it may feel like it, but yeah. It doesn't exactly reach the nuclear level. So,
do you think there are a lot of questions being raised? Do you think the phrase WMDs will be reexamined?
I doubt it very much, but it does keep coming up. It's not only in this case, but there's a lot of terrorism cases. A guy who's going to put a one-hand grenade in a trash container in a shopping mall and set it off is now serving 25 years for using or planning to use a weapon of mass destruction. And when cases like that come out, you get the same question. That's a weapon of mass destruction. So it's basically pretty distracting. I mean, what happened in Boston was just plain unadulterated, horrible murder. And most people don't have much trouble seeing that as a horrible event and something that deserves strong punishment.
John Mueller, professor of political science at Ohio State University, senior fellow at the Cato Institute, on the definition of weapons of mass destruction under U.S. law. Again, we'll post them at hereandnow.org. Professor John, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, we'd love your thoughts on this as well at hereandnow.org. Meanwhile, we have a sad coda to a story that gained attention for the wrong reasons after the Boston bombings. Providence, Rhode Island police confirmed today that a body pulled from the Providence River Tuesday is that of 22-year-old Brown University student Sunil Tripathi, who'd been missing since March 16th. Last week, a theory exploded online, mainly through the social media site Reddit, that he might be one of the Boston bombers. His sister, Sanjita, told NPR that during Friday's manhunt, she received dozens of calls from the media between 3 and 4 a.m. Her parents were inundated with emails and calls. They had to take down their Facebook page even while they were desperately searching for their missing son. The Pennsylvania native was on leave from Brown, but living in an apartment near campus with several other students. His body was found in the river by the coach of Brown's rowing team, cause of death not determined. His family said today on a newly opened Facebook page post that, as we carry indescribable grief, we also feel incredible gratitude to people who have offered us support. The general manager of Reddit, Eric Martin, apologized to the family for relaying faulty information. Latest news is next, here and now,